That's not what we're about, but the Spirit of God is here and he wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to bring us to another place. He wants to help us identify things in our lives that we need to let go and him let in. And as we were just, the service was happening this morning, God was coming and flooding us with his love and his presence, because that's what he comes in first. He comes in with his love and his presence and he says, here I am. I am passionate about you. I am busting through like a freight train. Nothing can come between me and you and the love of God that I have for you. So Father, I thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Listen, I'm passionate about apostolic. And when we get into apostolic, we need to understand that there's a government called God's government. All right? There's a God's government that everything, the foundation of the earth, was built upon. So it's important that we grab an understanding about who God is and his government. We call it apostolic. Maybe that's foreign to you, but it's everything. When you become born again and you become a new creation, that whole apostolic thing, that's talking about you drawing off the resources of heaven. Not the resources of man. So what I'm passionate about as a pastor is I don't want to deal with all your issues. I rather would have you realize who you are in Christ and meet every issue on that platform. What does that mean? If my resources are connected to heaven, right, and everything here on earth, and it's our job to call earth down to heaven, when you're encountering a situation or circumstances, you have heaven coming in, and you're on that kingdom train. When Jake was talking about that train, come on. What stops a train? Nothing stops the train. And every single one of us has a part on that train. And getting hooked up on that. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Father, we thank you, Jesus. I want to share with you in Mark 10, verse 17 through 27. Here's what I believe. I believe we're learning to enter into the kingdom train. I believe we're learning, and God is showing us our upgrades and entering in onto the kingdom train. Last week in the prophetic words, I really felt like there were so many tracks that were leading to this massive train that's called the move of God. It's called the body of Christ that every single one of us has a part of. Come on. There are no individual words. There are only things that connect us together. And we are connected by what heaven sees in us and our prophetic words. Each and every one of us, it says the body, we're called the body and we work together. And I am passionate about discovering who you are in Christ, because everything, all these resources are attached to that. Heaven responds to when we get into our position and we step into who God says we are, and heaven responds. And that's what you need right now. You need a heaven response to your situation. There's not enough brain doctors. There's not enough heart doctors. There's not enough this world has to offer to get you to where you need to go. And you're actually in a place where you're on a track that leads to the mega train that hooks you up to the Lord, and it plows you through every circumstance, because God is so passionate about you right now that you get this. Come on. That we know that we know that we have a creator God, and we're not just called, that we have been designed. We have been made. Even before we were born, the Bible says our days have been written in a book of life. And prophecy is this. Prophecy is reading your book. Prophecy is saying, this is what heaven thinks of you. This is where you belong. This is how you run. This is where you go. Come on, guys. And everything is connected to that. Don't go through life struggling. And I want to share about hooking up into the kingdom. And it's about the rich young ruler. And this is the encounter with Jesus and the rich man. And as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees. This sounds like a man that knows he needs something, okay? He needs something in life. And he shouts out, he says, "Good teacher," he asked, What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers, he says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I've kept since I was a boy." And Jesus looked at him and loved him. Say, loved him. Did you feel the love of God here? He's loving on us. And he says, "One thing you lack." Here's the key. There's nothing wrong with you, but there is something missing. Those are two different things. When we think there's something wrong with us, we get in a place of panic. God doesn't come in his love to point out our wrong. He points out what is missing. in our experience with him and who he is and getting hooked up to the G train, the J train, the Jesus train in our lives. He's saying, this is the area in your life. So this rich young ruler came before the throne of grace. Tell me, he was feeling a conviction. He was feeling something on him. He's saying, I need something here. But he was rich in the world, okay? He says, I kept all these things. He named all these things. What things didn't Jesus name in the commandments? He mentions the last six, but he didn't mention the first four. He didn't mention the first four commandments. Which are the first four commandments? Was the ones addressing our relationship with God. The first four commandments talk about your faith and your trust and putting God first and laying your life down for the Lord first, that nothing comes before him. Those were the first four things. So the things that he mentioned was everything that we do relating with one another, with each other. How do I relate with one another? And he knew it wasn't enough. And he actually took all those things and he created great wealth and he created a great structure around him. And he learned to do very well following those. But he said, there's one thing that you're lacking in your experience with me. There's one thing. Notice he loved on him, guys. He absolutely loved on him to the point, he says, one thing you lack. He says, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasures, and then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus, he said, children, how hard is it to enter into the kingdom of God? What he's talking about here is not about heaven. He's talking about his kingdom on earth, how we get hooked up to that, how we learn to let go of that which is around us, that we have created, that we have built, that we have our identity and things here on earth that we put our investment in. And those things are breaking away. And he had a great concern on his heart. He says, I'm missing something here. It wasn't that he wasn't convicted. He knew he was missing something, and he came down and he threw himself at the knees of Jesus. He says, something's got to happen here. Come on. Something's got to happen here. And did you notice how he addressed him? He addressed him as good teacher, and right away Jesus was pointing to the fact that there's only one good. He immediately began to identify to the Father. Right away, he says, there's only one good, and that's God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the good stuff. He was addressing right away, listen, everything good about me comes from the Father. Doesn't come from all the stuff I collected on earth. It doesn't come from all this stuff. Everything that I have came from the Father. And again, he was identifying him as a teacher. He was identifying him as a teacher. And he was just saying, this is what you're missing. And Jesus confirms this in Matthew 22. He says, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, say all the law, of the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, when we talk about grace and we talk about the New Testament, what happens? I become born again. I become something different. Something's changed in me. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. Something different has happened to me. I am been changed. I am a new creation. My discovery is now is who am I in Christ now? What does this mean? And the rich young ruler was asking something. He says, what do I need to do? And Jesus said, this is who you need to be. This is who you are. This is what happens in our relationship with the Father. He was addressing that. So in that is how we function in the kingdom of God, right? It was interesting that we could build so much around us that when God brings us to an upgrade, I like to call them upgrades, he's challenging us to let go of all the structures and the things that we have set up around us and absolutely trust him. There will be situations in life where God says, listen, you're nothing wrong, but there's something missing in our relationship. And how you look at me and how you look at yourself. That's what I'm trying to change in you right now. When he was talking to Gideon, he called him a mighty warrior. Gideon didn't think he was a mighty warrior. Right away when he heard that, he began to think of all the negative things that happened in his life. Well, if you are my God and you are mighty, why have all these bad things happened? It's the same thing that happens in the world around you. Well, if God is so good and loving, why do all these things happen to you? And you notice in Judges 6, he doesn't even acknowledge that. He says, mighty warrior, I am with you. What you need to focus on right now is not your problem. What you need to focus on now is who are you and who am I? Come on. That's why the prophetic is so powerful. It is reading your book that has been written before you were even born and saying, this is who you are. Why is that important? That's your permission. It's your authority. It's an elevated status in Christ. He's calling you up. Gideon was called a mighty warrior. He did not feel like a mighty warrior. But Gideon began to get it. He began to get it because the situation around him needed to happen. He was oppressed, his people was oppressed, and God was calling on him to rise up because this is how heaven sees you. And all of heaven's resources depends for you, depends on you making a decision and saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When you see a prophetic word and you look at that, the first thing that might come into your mind is a negative thought. Well, if this is true, why do I feel like terrible things? Right? Well, what is true? What is the truth? Who am I? Am I a teacher or am I the Savior of the world? Am I the Christ of the living God? Peter got it, and he says, that's it. So when you're in a situation, when you're in a circumstance, God's asking, who are we? Who am I? And who are you? And the very foundation of that relationship of who we are is what we build the foundation of our love and our ability to step into the kingdom of God and allow him to rule and reign. The rich young ruler said, listen, I got a lot of stuff figured out. The fact that you're asking me to put that all on the table is more than I can bear. And he says, that's hard for people. That's hard for people who have a lot of other things going for them that they're trusting in to give it up and get on the train that says, just trust me completely. Let it go. Of course, he says it's hard. But that's the way you were made. So one or two things happen. Everything could break down around you. Everything could just fall away to the point where there's nothing left to trust in, where you have to be on your knees. Now, I don't want to go to that place. I'd rather not go to that place. And here in America, everybody's rich. We're all rich. We all can work so hard to create an environment around us that would bring comfort and food and all these things. And he says, don't allow that to be the connection that you live right there. Because that's not what's going to sustain you. And we panic when that doesn't sustain us. When there are things in life that deal with the matter of our hearts, when there are things in our life that deals with stress and pressure, why do rich people commit suicide? Why do these things happen? Because it's not the answer. It's not what was written before you were born. It's not where his heavenly resources connected to you are. You were called the mighty warrior. You were called to deliver your people. That's what you are. We're back there with the kids right now, identifying who they are. That's the best thing I could ever do for them. Better than training them up to have a job. Better train them up for that. If they learn who they are and they begin to step into it, heaven's resources will open up and every situation will bow to them because they know they have an elevated status in the kingdom. And that's what he's trying to do with you. And when we get older, you guys get older, you got your own thing. I get my own thing. I do this very well. I make a living and I take care of myself. And you're asking me to put that on the table? There are people that I need to take care of. And it becomes harder. It becomes harder because you're set. And then 2 years ago, we had the shaking. We had the shaking, and we don't like to be shaken. Don't shake me. Don't touch this stuff. There's a shaking, and God says, who are you? What have I called you to do? Where is your permission? Who here asked permission when they were a child? I have to go to the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom? Right? Can I go to the bathroom? Lily, don't say no. It's your permission. What is your permission? When Jake read those words, all these words are our permission. We have been given permission. They're all over the place in this house. That's your permission. What if you don't have permission? When Danny took the car when he was a teenager and he didn't get his dad's permission, how'd that work out for you, Danny? Did that actually happen?
Yes.
Did it really? I'm sorry about that. I was trying to just... He knows everything. You were designed, you were made. God made you and designed you to function a way. Our journey together is to figure out, well, I don't want to try to figure out Dwayne. Here's what I want to do. I want to know how God sees Dwayne. I don't want to see anything else. Because I'm going to speak to who Dwayne is. And I'm going to call him up and out. And when we call people up and out, guess what? All that other stuff breaks away. All those things that we have attached, our faith, our worries, our trust, all those things get to be torn off. And you get to begin to call people up and out because you are a mighty warrior. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You cannot bring yourself down. You cannot accept the creator of the universe in my life, which is Jesus Christ, the power that raised Christ from the dead, it says in the word, lives in me. How could I have that living in me and expect and stay down here the whole time when I was designed and I was made to soar? That's how you're designed. It's called the kingdom of God. It's designed to step in to that train and step into that cart and take that thing and go. That's what you're made for. And no wonder you're frustrated, because you're trying to drag on all these other things that have absolutely nothing to do with his kingdom and who you are and your identity. And it's really this place of trust in your heart where you know you got all these things and you got your own mind on how it works, and it doesn't work that way in the kingdom. 300 people don't take out 100,000. Gideon, you're crazy. He grabbed something in the kingdom and he ran with that. In an apostolic training center, people need to grab their identity and they need to start to step out in it. It doesn't feel natural, doesn't feel good, because it's not logical. 300 versus 100,000 doesn't make any sense. I've been reading the Old Testament. 12,000 people took on the whole Midianites, and they didn't even say how many they were, but not one was lost, and they brought millions of cattle and sheep, and I can't even think of a million. Can you think of a million cows? What do you even do with the million cows? It's blowing my mind. But they went in with 12,000. They faced and defeated like five kings of the Midianites, took all their heads, brought them back, and not one was lost. Do you think this is logical? Do you think the kingdom makes logical sense? No. It's a blowing your mind experience. So when you read a prophetic word and God is speaking over this house about clouds of healing in this house, people are going to be set free, of course it blows your mind. But there's something in the spirit says, this is who I am. And at one point in life, you need to make a decision whether or not you're going to step out into that, because of all of heaven's resources. And when I say resources, I'm talking about the ability to accomplish that which is in front of you. That's what you need to make it through. You need all of heaven's resources to accomplish that which God has called you to do. And there is an absolute abandonment of a natural mentality of how we deal with stuff here. He sets us free from that. He puts us in situations where he is the absolute only answer, baby. And he's telling you to let go and let him take over your life. And the older we get, the harder it gets. And the more stuff we build around us, the harder it gets. So then he shakes that up. He says, no, that's not the foundation. I am the foundation. Come on, I am your foundation. I am your rock and your source. Yes, of course you are. Okay, yes, yes, God, you're my foundation. I got zero money in my bank account right now. How do I feel about my foundation? No, honestly, because that's what you're going through. Well, I got to get a job. And he's pointing to your identity and your prophetic word. Every resource is being met, but you have no idea where that goes. And there's a great resistance to that, your identity. There's a great battle in your mind with that, because if Katie gets a hold of that, I'm done. I have no more influence on Katie's life if she chooses to surrender and follow Christ. Heaven's going to open up on her life, and every situation that she comes to, she's going to draw off the power and the love of God, that which is she in it, and she's going to face it. And I cannot sway her to the left or the right with the finances. I can't sway her left to the right with relationships in this world. I can't touch her. She becomes very dangerous. So rather than that, I want you to build and construct some ideas in your life about what you think you need to do and how God is. Look at God as just a teacher. Look at Jesus just as a teacher. He's just a teacher. He'll just tell you what, just that's it. But we're missing. He says, I am the creator of the universe. Who do you think you're talking to? Who are you talking to right now when you talk to God? Who are you talking to? The creator of the universe? Yeah. So the creator of the universe is giving you permission. He's given you permission to overcome every obstacle, right? To take the cart, go on a trip. He gives you permission to overcome anything that's in your way. When it says that this is an apostolic resource, when he says that you are an ambassador of Christ, that means everything you do as an ambassador of Christ, any obstacle you meet, you have permission and authority to overcome every obstacle. It also means this. You have legal authority. God's law is the supreme law of the universe, not yours. Man's law is not the supreme law in the universe. God's law is. So when we step into God's law and we trust him, guess what? When those things collide, guess what? Who are you talking to? When we come into alignment, when I say alignment, that means we're saying, yes, God, you are my creator, you are my savior, you are Jehovah Jireh, you are my provider, you are the one that carries me. Yes, Lord, I believe what you said about my life is true. Yes, Lord, you've called me to be a pastor to the nations. You've called me, hallelujah, to be a father. Lord, I believe what you said is absolutely true. I'm pushing everything into that. I begin to step out. I begin to think about myself differently. I begin to think from that platform as one who is called and anointed to go on a mission. Because that's what you are. And when you come into alignment, that opens up heaven to provide everything. Listen, most of these issues is not an issue with people. You don't have problems with people. You have problems with your own perception about who you are and who God is. That's it. That's the only thing. Who are you and who God is? Well, I'm struggling with people. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with your perception of who you are and your perception of who God is. That's it. And everything else bows down to you. When you grab a hold of who you are, that's why prophetic words are so powerful. What do you say? What are you saying prophetic? It's reading your life story to your face. Before you were born, before you were created, your life story was written out. This church here, the life story of this church has already been written. Right? Or no? Is that scriptural or not? Your life has already been written. The question is, are we going to come into alignment with that? Are we going to come into agreement with that which has already been written in our lives? With that which has already been spoken? And we say, yeah, go ahead, yes, all right. And we begin to think differently. We begin to pursue that. It's a decision we make to pursue that. My dad told me something growing up, and I remember a few things. I remember more than a few things, Dad. I mean, quite a bit of things, so if he's watching... Yeah, he does. He said this, and this is about me being a father. He says, if you don't take responsibility, you don't have any authority. If I don't take any responsibility as a father, I have no authority as a father. You lose it all. Someone else takes your kids, someone else raises your kids. At some point, it's not just about being saved, guys. It's about taking responsibility for Christ in me. You have a responsibility now. What does that look like? How do I respond to life as Christ in me? Because if I don't, guess what I lose? My authority. And you get beat up. It's just not about people around you. It's about your own life. It's about your own heart. Some point in life, you make a decision to pursue God as the one and only salvation belongs to our God, right? No one else. That's His. That belongs to Him. And I take responsibility because I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and the decision to pursue Him rests right here. The decision to lay things at God's feet rests right here. The decision of whether or not to take the prophetic word and do anything with it rests right here. It rests right here. You cannot look to the person to the right or left. I understand that you go through difficult things. We all go through difficult things. Paul went through difficult things. Come on. He was stoned. He was beaten up. But I'm telling you, until you take responsibility for yourself in who you are in Christ, you don't have the authority. You don't get into alignment with who God says you are. If you fight that, then what you're really fighting is the power, the authority, the permission to overcome every obstacle. And you're trying to get through an obstacle out of alignment with who God says you are, and you keep fighting that thing. And you get upset with God, because I've gotten upset with God. And you're going on a journey. And He's bringing you to a place of humility where you're trusting Him with your heart and your life. And you come into alignment and you say, Lord God, you got to do something, because I'm hiding here under a wine press and the enemy is surrounding me. I got nothing left. Okay, fine. Maybe that's where you're at in your heart. Maybe you're at that place in your heart where you say, okay, absolutely nothing else will work here. And that's not a bad place, because it just said, God come in what? His love. He came in with His love and He said, listen, this is what you're missing in me right here. What is missing in our relationship with God? The next level in this house, what is missing and what needs to be laid aside? Come on. Are you guys okay this morning? The great thing about taking responsibility is that you got a choice. It makes the choice all up to you. This idea that we don't have a choice is not one of freedom. We always have a choice. We always have a choice to respond as one who is saved. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. I'm born again. You always have a choice to respond in a situation as one as who's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You always have a choice to go to the kingdom with every situation, hook up to the J train, stay in that J train. There's always things that's trying to take you out of the J. You know what I say about J train? That's a Toby Mac song, J train. Guys, you want, anybody here know that song? I'm not going to make you sing it. Jamie, you know that? Getting a ticket onto the J train, right? Jesus train. You have a permission. You have authority. You have an identity. You have elevated status in Christ. What does that mean? That means that when I have 300, I have more than enough. That means if I have a sling and a stone, I have more than enough. Some of you are waiting to get more because you think you need more in order to go, and that's not true. You have everything you need right now, and there's something that's trying to rob that from you. The one who's trying to rob that is called the accuser of the brethren. He accuses day and night before the throne room. He's saying, you don't have enough. You don't have what it takes. Revelations 12:10, it says, I heard the loud voice of heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of the brethren and sisters who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. They triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Come on. You know, the situations is like, man, God. There are places in our lives that we lay down and we have to bury for good because they're dead. that has nothing to do with the life of God that is given with you. You are absolutely born again. You have everything that you absolutely ever will need living inside of you. You have the power of the blood of the Lamb and the testimony. And there's such a power right now to absolutely release and abandon everything else that we put trust in that is not in the Lord. Where we set aside reasonings and thoughts and we embrace everything that was written before we were even born. It's like a white canvas. This isn't white, but if I had a white canvas, it's actually just like a blank canvas and saying, you can write whatever you want here. What do you say? What do you say about this? You guys would say some nice stuff, right? Looking good. I know. I get it all the time. What would you say about this? Kayla, come up here quick. What would you say about this? Hurry up. What? Just stand up here. What would you say? What do you say about this? What do you say about this? It's a white canvas. This is yours. He said you'd leave everything and you become a white canvas and say, this is yours. You can have this. Danny, come up here. Here's a white canvas. Here's something that's been washed with the blood of Christ. Everything is white. Everything he thought, everything is clean. He's a new creation. All things are. What do you say about this? What do you say about this, God? That's prophecy. And it moves our heart because we get to a place where we need to know. Because things aren't working anymore, Lily. Come on, Lily. I was made to function a certain way. I was designed to function a certain way. I was designed to function a certain way. I was created to function a certain way. And it doesn't work but one way. She's a blank slate. Well, you're not totally blank. You're getting it.
You are.
You are getting it. You are getting it. Say it.
I am getting
it. Okay, thank you. We're working on the getting. Josh, you lay everything before the throne room and you say, you can write. Yeah, Josh. Yeah. Do we have another Josh here? Well, Joshua. Are you Joshua? I'm calling you Josh and you're Joshua. Blank slate. When we come through the throne room of grace, we say, here I am. I am yours. I'm not going to call on you. She's running away. Hey! Did you feel the love in the house of God? Come on. Absolutely break away everything else that would hold you back and release it into my hands. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, Father God. Help me step into the place, Lord, that you have called me, Lord, because I have been made for that. I have been designed for that. Hallelujah. And my frustration is only pointing to the upgrade where I need to release something. Is anybody here frustrated? Don't lie in church. Okay. There is your upgrade. There is your upgrade right there where God wants to release it. And here's the thing. Before everything falls apart, we can get smart with this. We could say, listen, I know something's going on here that isn't right. Father God, you show me what this is. This is a great thing. Because I don't want to wait till everything falls apart and then I'm just absolutely. Why don't I be on my knees right now and understand that I am designed and I am made and I'm created and I'm going to just allow the Lord to write whatever he wants on me. Right? What would he write on Michaela? What does he write on Michaela? Who are you? What is written about Michaela? Does anybody know? If I don't know, how is that going to affect me? How's that going to affect your kids who don't know who they are? I'm back there, you guys. You guys got... Who's going to tell your kids who they are? Come on, I've struggled with fear and doubt in a Christian house because I didn't know who I was. And I had to fight that battle. And they're out there right now. Every single one has a prophetic word that's been written in a book back there. And you could take it. And you are a carrier of the glory of God. Every day has been written about your life in the hands of God. And when they go through life, they know who they are. They know they have a Father and Creator who could take them to any place and anywhere. And you can't take that from them. What are these kids going through? They're trying to learn to engage life as a new creation. And there's something that's trying to rob every single word that was spoken before they were born. and it's trying to be put in something else. And the prophetic house is shouting, and he's standing outside the doors like what Frank was saying. He says, here I am. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who I say you are. And he's shouting it out from the rooftops. And we need to get it. We need to know it before God starts withholding stuff from us. Because he will. Because he'd rather you go through life suffering and finally get the kingdom of God than to go through life and end up in the pit of hell. And that's just the truth. He'd rather you go through something and find out the majesty, the power, the glory. Whether it was great, it wasn't Gideon's fault. I'm sure he was up all night. I'm sure it was a lot of pressure. But guess what? The angel of the Lord showed up, which he's showing up in your house right now. And he's speaking, my mighty warrior, you are my son. You are my daughter. I have given you everything you need. You are created in the new image. Rise up because this is who you are. Don't run away. Take your time because this is what you've been created for. Come on! That's good stuff. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. That's what we're doing here. And you may not like it at first, because it might challenge every one of your old thoughts, my old thoughts about what you need, the church needs to look like, how we should treat each other. You know what I mean? You go through your own religious system. But when the glory of God shows up, what am I going to do? When you're up there, and the glory of God hits your voice, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the next song? Are you going to shout heaven's sound on earth and make a declaration of the glory of God? Is that the type of people we are? It's never been done before, Gideon. You took it to the battlefield and you blew the trumpets. Them kids out there, them kids are crazy. They're going to do things that never has been done before because they know who they are. Don't you dare hold them back. Don't you dare hold them back. Come on. Well, you need to be quiet in church. It's getting too loud. I'd rather be so loud and we get something. I'm turning into Pastor Jake. I'd rather be so loud that we get something than to go through the same thing over and over and over and over again. It is scary. We're like turning into each other. We bring everything together. I turn into Frank. Frank turns into me. We could turn into each other. Fine. We lay it all down because the power of God is here to knit us together. When you go by, I ask this. You go by one prophetic word in this house and you look at it and you read it. And that's speaking to this region and that's speaking to you. And that's your permission and authority to begin to study that and learn that in your own life. That's your permission and authority. When you begin to take responsibility for yourself, that's when things begin to change. That's when heaven begins to open up and change in our lives. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. We have, all right. Father God, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I thank you for every prophetic word that has been spoken, every word that has been written over each and every one of our lives, Father God. And right now, Lord Jesus, there has been an assignment to rob every word, everything that was spoken from heaven, from each and every one of us. And we loose right now the Spirit of God to bring us into identity and purpose and life, Father God. That which we've been looking for has already been written. And Father God, I pray right now for the eyes of our heart to be enlightened, to know what is the hope of the call of God. That which has been written and spoken and known before us, before we even face this earth, Father God. That it would restore unto us, Father God, the very joy of our salvation, because we are destined for greatness because of you, God, and who we are. We release that over this house in Jesus' name. Come on, intercessors. Come on, intercessors. There's times where you blow your trumpet and you begin to shout and say, yes, Lord, and allow him to take you to the particular. Father God, go ahead and take me through this ride. And we hitch up with the Holy Spirit right now and we say, yes, Lord, I am that man, I am that woman. Because you have spoken it, I agree. I am yours. Amen.
Praise God. I want to say something here that if you never heard another message than that message right there. It would take you to places that you never could believe. That message right there, I don't know, Tom, Pastor. Wow. That's probably the best message I've ever heard. It's just mind-blowing, right in your face, change your life type message. And I know what... Yeah. So, you know, you remember communion when you take communion? I'm putting this on you today. When you take communion today, I'd be very careful what you're doing. If you do not want to take communion, this is fine. But God's, this word that's going on, he's bringing us to this place of decision individually. And I think this word is I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to hear another message that I could start walking out right today. Dwayne, when the Lord turned to you today, there was a change in the Holy Spirit about your life. You seeing it was like bang. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of taking communion. Let's pray. Like I said, the kids are, they're learning about identification. But be serious of what you're doing here, because I think it's going to really make a big impact on our move in these days ahead. So, Father, we just believe, Lord, that on that night when the disciples, apostles, gathered together and Jesus was there, had done everything he possibly could, the message was so clear, yet they weren't catching it. But he said, you know, we're doing something new. There's something new. There's something new. There's something new in the hearts and the lives and in the Spirit of God that he's trying to get something new to us. That we'd not be old wineskins. That we'd not be a new patch on an old pair of pants. But God, that we would choose the new. And Lord, when we come up here for communion, we ask that this new day, this new time, not a new message. It's the same message that you've been screaming and shouting to the world that we live in so that it could be changed. Father, as we come, Lord, we believe, Lord, that as we step in and take communion, Lord, that this new and living way, and the path has been laid many times, but this new and living way is going to come upon us in such a way. When you come up here, I'm just going to have Pastor Tom, and he's not going to pray individually, but he's going to touch your family, your group. It's just going to be a touch of God, because that message right there, we just release it into the hearts and lives of each one of us in Jesus' name. All right, elders, would you come? And hallelujah.